And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another disappointed episode of the Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers fall to Ohio State 78-59 in Columbus. The loss drops Indiana to 11-9 on the season, 6-7 in the Big Ten. And, you know, these games against Ohio State have kind of become measuring stick games for IU and Archie Miller. Obviously, he and Chris Holtmann hired in the same season. And once again, we failed to measure up. You know, Archie now 1-6 against Chris Holtmann. Obviously, the one victory coming last year, that nice home victory for Indiana. But otherwise, especially in these road games, Ohio State is just really taking it to Indiana. And they did it again today. You know, I don't think there was really anything special that Ohio State did. They were just better at the little things, better at the fundamentals. And I think once again, came into the game with a better game plan than Indiana and executed it better than Indiana. And the result was a 19-point victory that was really never competitive outside of one really, really brief moment in the second half. And we're going to break it all down for you here today. I'm your host, Jared Morris, here with Andy Bottoms and special guest Mark Titus. And let's start this show the way that we start every show, and that is with our banner moment. Not a lot to choose from in this one, obviously, in a game when Indiana falls down big early again. But the one real bright spot for the Hoosiers came in the second half with about 14 minutes, 11 seconds left. Indiana had battled back. They were down by 7. And Christian Lander and Trace Jackson Davis executed a nice side pick and roll. They were really patient. They didn't have the angle they wanted at first, so they waited, got the right angle, executed the pick and roll. Christian made a nice little pass to Trace, converted it for a dunk. That made it a 5-point game. And you started to think, hey, you know, maybe the Hoosiers have a little bit of life. And it showed the kind of playmaking from Christian Lander that has everybody excited about him. Look, this was not a great game for him. He made mistakes all over the court today. I didn't really think this would be a great game for him. You know, Ohio State's guards are typically so physical and disciplined that he was going to struggle in this game. But you saw some of the flashes, him seeing passing angles and being able to deliver passes that other guys in Indiana just can't make. You know, and as you start looking for how this Indiana team can get better this season and in the future, so much of it revolves around Lander. And that play right there was indicative of the kind of talent that he has. Unfortunately, that was definitely the last high point for Indiana. It was 45-40. Ohio State would then go on a 25-8 run to take a 70-48 lead, and the game was basically over. Well, the game was pretty much over earlier on, but they shut the door very quick, let's put it that way, and Indiana was never competitive again. But at least we had that one pass. That's what we have to cling to here today. All right, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their fourth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call. And, you know, there are frigid temperatures everywhere, even in Dallas. We're actually going to have snow, I think, for the first time in my young daughter's life. Feels a little bit like home this weekend here in Dallas, but we've got that. And so it's cold everywhere. You need to go to Home Field Apparel because you need hoodies and you need the crew neck sweatshirts, and they have the most comfortable shirts that you will find anywhere. So make sure that you go to homefieldapparel.com. They've got something for everyone, especially IU fans, and everything is printed on the softest, warmest, most comfortable material that you'll find anywhere, and it's washable. The colors don't fade very much, so that's why going to Home Field Apparel is great. And plus, it's not just IU gear. They have apparel for more than 90 different colleges and universities. New ones being added all the time. They just added a new design for UC Irvine that's like this little surfing bear or something. They claimed it was their best logo ever. The Bison hoodie called it once its title back, because clearly as IU fans, we think that's the better one. But the point is, Home Field Apparel always has fun new stuff going on over there. You need to go check them out. And you can always save on your home field order by using the promo code ASSEMBLY20 at checkout. It will give you 20% off your entire order throughout the year. Go to homefieldapparel.com, load up your shopping cart, and enter ASSEMBLY20 at checkout to get 20% off. That's homefieldapparel.com. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And we will start, there we go, with the most famous Indiana Ohio State fan on earth. He grew up in Brownsburg, went to college in Columbus, and now host the biggest and best college basketball podcast on the planet, Titus and Tate. Mark, what are your opening thoughts?
Jared, my opening thought has nothing to do with the game. It has to do with you to have the courage to invite me on when you know what's going to happen. Every time Ohio State plays Indiana, you know what's coming. And you still ask me to come on. And I just want to apologize to Indiana fans out of the gate that I think a guy wearing an Ohio State sweater with a big smile on his face is the last thing I think Indiana fans want to see right now.
At least everyone was really complimentary on Twitter, though, as the game started toward the end.
I do appreciate you giving the history of I do not want to see Indiana fail. This is this is not what I wanted to see today. I mean, I'm very excited that Ohio State is good, but you know, I want Indiana in the tournament. As you said, I'm still an Indiana fan. I cheer for Indiana whenever they're not playing Ohio State. And my opening statement, I guess, like my big picture thought on this game, I've followed both of these teams all season, and I've had thoughts on them, obviously. And then to see them on the same court at the same time, my thoughts were confirmed. And for me, the difference in these two teams just basically comes down to confidence. And when Ohio State catches the ball, every single guy on the team is looking to score, is looking to make a play. And Indiana is just, I mean, you said it at the top, Jared, the little things, like passes are a little off. Guys aren't 100% sure, is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this what we're supposed to be doing? Am I supposed to? And it just, like, I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on it, but you can just kind of sense it. And Ohio State, like, I don't think Ohio State is all that much more talented than Indiana. I really don't. I just think, like, I don't even think it's an X's and O's thing on game day. I think it's like whatever's going on in practice, Ohio State, like the coaches are just saying, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it. All of you shoot it. I mean, and Indiana just feels a little, I know the Archie Miller system is more defensive minded. I think Chris Holtman's trying to, you know, have a more offensive minded approach to the game. But, that's what stands out to me is just like our guys and RB and Ohio State, they just have a ton of confidence and they're not afraid to, shoot stupid. Like Kyle Young had a couple stinkers today where he just was like, he pulled from three, bricked it. I guarantee you the next time Kyle Young shoots the ball, he's not even thinking about that. And from watching Indiana all year, guys like airball shot, it's like there's something comes over their face like, oh God, I can't shoot for 3 weeks now or coach is gonna kill me. So that was my takeaway. I mean, I don't think there's really much sense in breaking down like the game on a granular level, but that's what stands out to me in watching these two programs right now.
Yeah, well said. All right, Andy, your bottom's line on this disappointing effort in Columbus.
I'm definitely on board with Mark's idea to not break down this game. I know you said on a granular level, I'm just fine to not break it down at all. yeah. But I would say, you know, a couple things. There were just a few moments where IU had a chance to really put some pressure on after, you know, giving up a 19-0 run in the first half, which is starting to become a little bit customary. And you get to the end of the first half and you're within six with the ball, I believe. Armon Franklin loses it on a drive. You give up the last 4 points of the half, you go in down 10. And then there was a play. And I know Jay Billis and basically every other IU person on Twitter talked about it as a big 4 point swing, but IU gets an offensive rebound down 7 in the second half. Race Thompson misses a point blank layup. And then Ohio State rips off a few points from there, gets it back up to 14. And then it was never in contention at any point during there. And I think you come back to a lot of the same points with IU around consistency and what you're going to get from guys in game in and game out. And while the guards really stepped up big against Northwestern today, the only guys that had more than 7 points for IU were TJD, Race Thompson, and Jerome Hunter. And guards were in large part a no-show between them. And you just didn't get contributions from outside of Jerome Hunter. You didn't get contributions from guys off the bench. And then for a team that really wants to fall back on its defense, IU got two straight stops once in the second half through the first probably 18 and a half or 19 minutes. And, you know, Ohio State was just rolling at that point. The only time IU's defense really played well, they continue to be a team that really gets their confidence defensively from how they're shooting the ball, which for a team that doesn't shoot the ball very well is not exactly a great combination. But they really played their best defensive stretch in the first half when they actually got things rolling on the offensive end. So, I don't think any IU fans – after the last couple of games probably had high hopes for this game, but I think that's also telling in and of itself, just in the kind of belief about what the consistency is in the game to game, what you're going to get from both the team collectively and guys individually as you go forward.
You know, Mark, the unfortunate part here is that most of the fun storylines to talk about for this game are on the Ohio State side, but of course we don't really do that. It'd be fun. You know, yeah. Hey, Ohio State Final Four potential, number one seed. This is an IU show.
We don't need to do that. That's all right.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that a little later. But I think we need to start. We certainly need to talk about Trace Jackson Davis, and we will. But I think we've got to start with the guards. You know, Andy, you said the guards were no-shows. In some senses, Indiana might have been better if there were no-shows because the starting guards were almost aggressively bad today with the turnovers, with some of the decisions that they made. You know, Armon Franklin is a guy who's one of the most improved players in the Big Ten and has been lauded on this show time after time because he's a go-to guy and he stepped up in big moments. This today's game looked like freshman Armon Franklin. I mean, he was making bad decisions. You know, he was playing hard, he was hustling, but he wasn't effective. You know, only took four shots, made one of them, had four turnovers and four fouls. You know, Al Durham turned the ball over three times. Christian Lander turned the ball over four times, despite you know doing some nice things. And Rob Phinisee made a couple shots late, but otherwise was a non-factor. And Mark, we've talked so often about how, you know, you got to have guards to win. We're not breaking news here. You got to have guards to win in college basketball. And Ohio State's guards were just better, you know. And Indiana's guards have played better in games against Iowa, where they don't play much defense and you can get comfortable. And in games against Northwestern, where the talent level isn't that high. But this is what we've seen anytime Indiana has tried to play like a top 20, top 25 level team, is the guards have kind of wilted from the challenge. Now, Armon hasn't usually like he did today. This was, you know, especially bad for him. But it's just hard to compete in these games on the road and get off to good starts when your guards don't give you anything.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. That's basically Indiana's Achilles heel all year is the guard play. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis has been awesome, as you guys know. And that's never been the issue will always be the guard play. And with that, I mean, I loved Andy's point about like how shot like it's I'm doing my best to not sound like a cliched moron with what I'm saying here, but how making shots just gives you so much confidence, and it puts these guards in a tough spot because they don't make shots, you know, like they're not great shooters, but it does feel at times watching Indiana, it's like you get a feel early on like who's gonna have it, who's gonna not have it today, and it's based on basically who's making shots out of the gate. And if they could just get to a point where, you know, like Trey Galloway sometimes will, I like him a lot because like he's a guy who doesn't necessarily have to score. He's like always kind of playing hard and engaged, but he's also limited in a lot of ways. But yeah, Armon Franklin's a guy that's definitely that way. That for me, it's like if he's hot and he's feeling it tonight, like then he's more engaged on the defensive end. Then he's looking to set up other teammates in various ways and all that sort of thing. And it's a really tough spot to like. Because I think Indiana's close. I think I really do. And maybe we could get into a bigger picture discussion, talk less about this game and like the direction of the program and all that kind of stuff. I think Indiana is close, but the problem is that what's going to fuel that is, you know, like you're going to have to start making these shots to then get the confidence to play deep. But Indiana can be a great defensive team. They have a lot of great pieces, and it's just like this is one of the more frustrating Indiana teams I've seen in recent memory. And it's not because like the frustration from past teams has been sometimes their chemistry, sometimes like Devontae Graham is shooting hook shots from half court, Devontae Green. There's like crazy stuff like this. Like that's not what's frustrating about this team. What's frustrating is that I think there's a good team in there somewhere. And it's just like, if you guys could just pull it out, like, I swear to God, you guys could be good. And it's just like, they don't want to string it together. They won two in a row. So they were like, all right, that means we got to play poorly today. That's how this works. And then maybe next game we'll play well. We'll string a couple wins together and then we'll lay a turd again. Cause that's what we do.
Yeah. I think with Armon, I mean, the only shot he made was on one of the first couple possessions of the game. And IU really came out, it was a little bit opposite. And I give Ohio State some credit for this, just with their defense on the perimeter. You know, we'd seen, and we got a question on the show on Thursday around really try to force feed Trace Jackson Davis early in the game. And that sometimes leads to him missing shots that, you know, that kind of led to part of the poor start against Northwestern. Well, in this game, IU shot a ton of threes at the beginning of the game, had a couple go down, and you wondered if that might open things up a little bit, give guys confidence, and it seemed to do the opposite, unfortunately. But there's just, it continues to be the same thing with the guards. There's too many possessions where it's so slow to get into running anything, the general pace at which things move. And part of that is, you know, I think Mark's point about Ohio State having five guys on the floor who are comfortable shooting, who are going to be aggressive. Their offense just looks a lot more crisp in the way that they cut and just in the general pace of it. And IU spends half the shot clock just trying to get into something. And then at the end, you don't really have anybody who can break guys down off the dribble and get you a shot late in the shot clock. And it's not a situation that IU needs to get in repeatedly, and things just kind of snowball from there. And IU missed, you know, Trace missed a couple. Once they did get him the ball early, he missed a couple in right by the basket. They ran a nice screen from Durham, got him wide open right at the rim and missed it. And then it just kind of snowballs for everybody, it feels like. And I do think what Mark said, with just from a confidence standpoint, and that's, we've talked about that a lot with this team, like just have a lot of guys who don't look confident to shoot, don't look confident handling the ball, don't really want to push the issue with the kinds of passes they're going to make. And Lander did some of that today and, you know, made some bad turnovers. But, you know, there was one where I think in some ways, depending on which guards in the game, Lander is the one who's really going to look for the roll man off that high ball screen. And Trace, it was like he almost forgot one of them. He just didn't move. And Lander passed to where he would be had he cut to the basket. But I think a lot of times when Finney's out there, he's not looking for that. And you just have like polar opposite guys playing the point guard position. And somewhere in the middle of them is probably where you want to be. But it was, everything was a struggle. And that made everything a struggle offensively to get into anything.
Yeah, you know, and Mark, to your point, I do want to have a bigger picture conversation with you about Archie and Indiana's tenure. For those who don't know, you know, you, when you were at Ohio State, Archie was there, you know, so you, mm-hmm. you played for Archie, you know, got to know him up close, and we will talk about that in a little bit. The one other player that I want to talk about from this game is Trace Jackson Davis, who from a numbers standpoint, it looks great. 23 points, 10 for 14, you know, 10 rebounds, you know, didn't have any blocks, you know, defensively, I think struggled, but certainly put up his points. And yet I came away from this game, and maybe it's unfair because he has such a heavy burden, but I came away from this game wanting more from him because mm-hmm. he was so non-existent at the start of the game. And we've seen this trend from Indiana of late where they don't just start out bad. Like, they dig huge holes for themselves. You know, for a team that's limited offensively and doesn't shoot a lot of threes, I mean, you know, that's just a horrible recipe, and a coach who doesn't change the lineup. So, you know, something's going to have to happen from the starters, and it feels like Trace likes to ease his way into games. And we just don't have that luxury, you know, and he was not, you know, he wasn't making quick moves. He wasn't being very aggressive. Then in the second half, you see him chasing down offensive rebounds. He's going up tough. He's flexing. He's doing all this stuff, which is fine. But you need that from him at the start of game. So, you know, kind of from a player perspective, like, what's a fair expectation for him as a sophomore? Because it's not that he was terrible today.
Yeah.
But he picked and chose his spots at bad times, it felt like.
I know what you mean. It's a tough spot because, like, he's the one guy that obviously carries the team, and he does have a big burden, like you said. So, like, the idea of trying to pin anything on him at this point in the season seems a little weird. But I'm with you. Like, when they set his stats at the end, towards the end of the game, like, I forget what the play was, and then I remember Shulman kind of made a point, like, yeah, and Trace Jackson Davis is probably not going to get the W today for Indiana, but he's having a heck of a game, 23-9. I was like, what? Yeah. He's got 23 points? Like, I would have guessed he had 11 or something, just because so much of it, as you said, like, sort of came when the game was out of reach. Yeah, but I for me, it was, I mean, the rebounding was kind of the and I guess you don't pin it all on him, but like when you are the guy down low for Indiana and you know, for Zed Key, as an Ohio State fan, like, I came away from this game just like licking my lips about 4 years of watching Zed Key just dominate the boards, because he was unbelievable for Ohio State today. He had 5 offensive rebounds, I think. And he was killing, and I don't know, like, as an Indiana fan, I would have been frustrated watching that. Like, obviously I wasn't frustrated because I was cheering for Ohio State, but I would have been like, who is this kid Zed Key that's just grabbing every offensive rebound? He's grabbing his own offensive rebounds, throwing up baby hooks. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I agree with you though, Jared. Like Trace was technically good. But yeah, it would be nice to have. I mean, Indiana's reached a point where they're going to need something at the start of every single game that's like, all right, if the guards are going to throw it all over the gym, if they're not going to be able to generate something, I'm going to be the guy. And he is the guy. He ends up being the guy by the time the final buzzer sounds. But I think that's what this team needs right now, is the game, the ball is tipped, and Trace Jackson Davis is like, you know, I'm going to take over this game. I'm going to impose my will from the start. And he doesn't always do that, but at the same time, the kid at 23-9 and was one of the lone bright spots. So yeah, it does feel a little strange to, pin it on him. But that's not really what we're doing, though.
No,
it's funny. Just looking at some of the post game, I'm sure Archie's apparently based on the tone of some of these, getting a lot of questions about the slow starts, and mm-hmm. even talked about Jackson Davis, said he gets a little bit nervous when the game starts. It takes him a little while to get settled in. He knows he's a slow starter. He gets better as the game goes along. So
that's kind of to the bigger,
I mean, that matches picture, what you see, but
this is how I feel about Indiana as a whole, is like, the guys not necessarily nervous, but they, to a man, it feels like all of them are like, we're gonna feel this out. And even when they play well out of the gate, it's almost like it's hard to put your finger on it, but like, it's so odd. Like, Ohio State is like attack, attack, attack. I was in Asheville for the the Indiana's whole run there at the quote unquote Maui Invitational. Mm-hmm. And watching the Texas game was another like just juxtaposition of like, oh my God, these guards are here to take your lunch money. They're here to the Texas guards. I mean, like they are here to punk it. They punked Indiana from the start. And that has continued throughout the season from my perspective is just like this idea of like, let's feel it out. Let's get a sense of where the game, and you can't afford to do that in the Big Ten. You have 40 minutes. You have to play. Let's go. And I know it's worked out for Indiana. Certainly they came back and beat Northwestern obviously. And they found ways to pull out W's, but man, that is not a way to make a living in the Big Ten of like, let's just feel it out. Let's just take these first 10 minutes and get a feel of what the vibe's going to be of the game. It's like, that's not how this works, boys.
They're so rarely the aggressor really in any part. And the way they run offense doesn't make them the aggressor. And I think to your point, they're trying to feel them out and like, see if they can absorb the blow and then bounce back. But against a really good team like Ohio State, they're not going to give you that room back to absorb that blow and then come back versus Iowa. Yeah, you can, and Northwestern to a certain extent, you can as well. But yeah, you just, I think feeling out the game seems that's a really good way to put it, I would say. Yeah.
But even in those games, you know, against Iowa without Frederick and a bad Northwestern team, you're still on the razor's edge. You know, it's not like they're winning those games by 15 or 20. So I guess, you know, my last question on this topic for you, Mark, is what do you do now if you're Archie Miller? Because, you know, fans have long been frustrated by his stubbornness with the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. And I realize, you know, there can be benefits to that where guys understand their roles. You're rewarding seniors who have been around. You're giving them the benefit of the doubt. And yet we kind of watch the games with our own eyes, see the same stuff you're talking about. And it's like, there's a freshman point guard. I don't know if he's mentally or emotionally ready to be the starter, but he attacks. Like, he's not afraid. You know, that was kind of the whole thing the first half of the season. You got to kind of pull him back a little bit. So do you start him and come out of the gates with a more attacking mentality? Because this isn't working. Like, what would you do to try to mix that up?
I mean, I would get in a time machine and go back to the start of the season and do this sort of stuff. It's like that was how I felt when I was in Asheville. I was like, man, especially after watching that Texas game, when just right out, I mean, you guys, everyone watching remembers, it was just like, because Indiana played pretty well against Providence. You're like, oh my God, this might be like Grace Thompson had an unbelievable game. You're like, this Indiana might be okay. And then Texas is like, nope, shut up, sit down. And I remember after that game thinking, all right, so now you're playing Stanford. Stanford was like in a state of disarray. They hadn't really practiced much because of all the coronavirus stuff going on and the forest fires out here in California. Stanford was sort of a slow start to their. I knew IU was going to beat Stanford going to that game, is what I'm saying. And I remember watching that game thinking, like, if I'm Archie, I just tell all these guys, all the guards, just shoot it. Just like almost play. Channel your Devontae Green energy and just everyone run up and down the floor, like get it out of your system. If we lose, we lose. Who cares? Like, I need to figure out who's going to be aggressive, who's going to score, all that. But now, I mean, you're on the bubble. You're trying, like, now's not the time to shake things up, I don't think. And that's not what Indiana fans want to hear, but it's like, man, you're on, if you roll the dice and you're like, all right, Christian Landry, I'm going to turn you loose. That's tough. Cause like, if he kind of knows what he has, and what he has is not awesome. But every so often, like a game at Iowa, it sort of comes out and you're like, that could be it. That could be what we have here. So I don't know. I if I'm coaching, I kind of like don't mess with a lot of stuff because I don't really think this is the time. I think if you're firmly in the tournament, maybe you could like tweak some stuff. If you're, you know, if you're very much out and you're like, we gotta swing for the fences here and try something to shake things up here down the stretch. But I don't know. I think like, what do you got coming up? Minnesota, Michigan State, like those are winnable games.
Rutgers, home against Minnesota, fortunately.
Yeah, exactly. Minnesota sucks away from home, so I Indiana fans don't want to hear it, but I sort of think you just kind of stay the course, and I think Indiana's going to get in the tournament. I think they're going to be fine. It's just, boy, this has been a frustrating season. It's been so frustrating because they're so close. God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just play from the guys who are starting, you know, if you're not going to shake it up.
Yeah, I do have one thing, and Mark would be interested in your perspective on this with Tennessee, because I think that's ultimately, without, you know, we're kind of dancing around, but that's really the question of, you know, does he remain in the starting lineup? To me, it's so odd. You see, he took some shots early in the first half. There was one on a, you know, perfect reversal, just like totally didn't even hit the rim, hit the backboard past the basket, and really didn't have a lot of confidence. Then one drive in the second half, he just like puts his head down, drives, spins, goes to the basket, gets a layup. And it's like, what happened? Like, where is this guy? And then when there's really no pressure in the game whatsoever, he, you know, hits a three, but the very next possession misses one like wildly. I, you know, maybe it's a, did you ever play with somebody like that who like really struggled, that was that up and down? Or as you watch him, like, what do you think it's a guy just that much in his own head in terms of trying to figure out what to do?
He seems like he's in his own head. Yeah, he definitely does. Like, I think, the guy was unbelievable at Iowa. And I mean, you're on the road. Iowa was a top five team at the time. Would you have like 18 points or something? And I remember watching that game. Just like, where, who is this? What just happened? Like, what, Rob Fantasy is unbelievable. And I can't think of any other explanation than being in his own head and just kind of like overthinking the game. And that's the only thing that stands out to me, because the kid has the talent. He's very good. There's a reason he was so highly recruited, and Purdue fans said, we're definitely not mad that you stole us from our backyard. We promise we're definitely not mad. And they said it over and over and over. It's because Rob Fantasy is a good basketball player. And I think Rob Fantasy needs to remind himself he's a good basketball player. This is a tangent that might not be relevant, but my mind immediately went to this. When I was in eighth grade, I job shadowed Brad Stevens. We had to do a job shadow thing in eighth grade, where you like pick someone in a career that you want to do and go follow them. And my dad knew Todd Licklider, who's the head coach at Butler. So he called in a favor, and I went for the day I was supposed to job shadow Todd Licklider. He obviously is the head coach. He's like, no, go deal with this graduate assistant we have. His name's Brad Stevens. So Brad Stevens is like 23 years old. And what I did all day, and I'll never forget this, is Brad Stevens took the entire day and made a highlight tape of Darnell Archie. I don't know if you guys remember Darnell Archie on those Butler teams.
One of course.
He was an unbelievable shooter, just unbelievable. But he was struggling. He was in a slump. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Brad Stevens had me sit down with a notepad and write down like all the time. We were watching all these game film, and we were writing down all the times Darnell Archie was like making great shots, great plays. And then he put together a highlight tape, put it in Darnell Archie's locker, and just said like, watch this. And Darnell Archie. And so I remember sitting there thinking like, what is he doing? And then I started tracking it, and Darnell Archie started playing well. And I was like, this Brad Stevens guy is going places. That was unbelievable. What did I do? And I guess that's like what I think about Rob. Like, if I'm Archie Miller, like, get some eighth grader in there taking notes, all the, like, just play the,
he's
Iowa
made plenty of big
loop.
Shots.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good player. You just have to remind him that he's a good player. And I don't know. But this is going to sound stupid, but like, this is one of the things I do love about college basketball. Not when it happens to my team or your guys' team, obviously. Like, it's not fun when your point guard is in his head a little bit, but all these variables, it's so hard to be good in college basketball, because these are things like NBA teams don't really have to worry about. You don't have to like worry about like, is your point guard's head in the game for long stretches? But it makes the game so interesting, because like, you really don't know what you're going to get. And unfortunately, it's not quite as fun when it's your team's point guard, but I don't know.
You know, Mark, I wasn't sure what kind of attitude you were going to have coming on the show, but now I'm convinced you're officially trolling us, making up a story about Brad Stevens on an IU podcast after IU loses a game. That's just,
I'm not sure. Do
that's
you guys
not
know
nice.
Who Brad Stevens is?
Yep, definitely not the context I assume Brad Stevens would come up with on our show.
I don't even want to look at the chat right now. Point,
but just he's actually from Indiana. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Is he? That's interesting. We'll have to consider that next time we're talking about coaches. Who knew?
Oh, God.
All right. Coming up, as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's loss to Ohio State, we will talk about one meaningful moment you might have missed that I think points to a larger issue. Maybe we'll talk about numbers, but I think we'll more talk big picture with the Archie Miller era with Mark Titus. You're listening to The Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. You know, I have never listened to the assembly call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
That is true. Thanks, Gene. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Andy Bottoms and special guest Mark Titus, and we are breaking down Indiana's 19-point loss to Ohio State on Saturday afternoon. Guys, time for today's meaningful moment that you might have missed. And I don't want to belabor this segment too long because, you know, there weren't a lot of moments really worth talking about, but there was one that, I mean, it almost made me throw my computer. It frustrated me so much. And it's not actually when Archie pulled Jerome Hunter after he had a great stretch of offense. You know, Jerome Hunter knocked down a three-pointer, had a great post beat, had a great post seal, and then Archie takes him out right after that when Jerome was the only guy giving us life. It's not even that one. It's at the end of the half. Indiana is down 36-28. They've really battled back to, like, make it competitive. And, I really thought at that point, okay, it's like 45 seconds left. We've got the ball. Got to get a good shot. You know, try to get a bucket here. Make it a six-point game. And Archie goes with Al Durham, Anthony Leal, Jerome Hunter, Race Thompson, and Trace Jackson Davis. Now, look, we just talked about how poorly the guards were playing. So it's not like, you know, Finney or Lander or Franklin had done something so great that you're like, well, those guys have to be on the court. But how many times have we seen these end of half, end of game possessions with Al Durham running the point, and it just doesn't work? Al Durham is not a playmaker. He's a shot maker. He's a guy who attacks closeouts. When you put the ball in his hands at the top of the key, bad things happen. And that's exactly what happened. He turned the ball over. Ohio State scored. We come down and he jacks up a wild shot. We don't get a good shot. They get a layup and it's a 10-point game at the half. Now, does that change anything? Almost surely not. It was a 19-point loss. But Mark, it's those little decisions sometimes that Archie makes, and obviously he's forgotten more about coaching than I'll ever know, all of that stuff. But sometimes you watch things like that, that he's trying the same thing over and over again that hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. And I think fans are like, why are we doing this? Like, it just doesn't make sense. So, you know, and I look, you know, my dad was a college coach. I respect coaches. I know how much more they know than I do. But yeah, I just don't understand why we do things like that. Yeah. Maybe you can make sense of it or not, but that really stuck out to me. And I just, it's infuriating that we're still doing that in February.
I thought you were going to end that thought with, I know they know more than I do, but do they? But do they? Like, I might be smarter than the coaches. Yeah, it's boy, it's tough because I have the luxury of, you know, like I obviously follow Indiana closely and I am an Indiana fan to some extent, but I also have the luxury of my real team is Ohio State, who's ranked fourth in the country right now and playing well. So I have the luxury of, like, if I'm watching Indiana and they're not playing well on a certain night, I shrug my shoulders. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll watch the Buckeyes, and then I can just kind of I can wear my Indiana fandom and take it off and put it back on when it suits me. So maybe I'm not the guy to talk about this stuff, like, because I'm not gonna make excuses for Archie, because, like, at this point, if you've reached the point in year four and you're still doing all these caveats of, like, IU is close, or I mean, you should, if IU is 6-7 in the Big Ten, I don't care what the context is. That's not acceptable. I mean, I don't think Indiana fans should be. I know nationally, national college basketball people look at Indiana fans, say they're crazy, say they have unrealistic expectations. I think the moment you say to yourself of the fan base, 6-7, pretty, it's not bad. It's like, you've lost. You're definitely done, and the program is done. So what I will say is, I think, because what happens every time Ohio State and Indiana play is, one, Ohio State wins, obviously, but two, the conversation centers around Chris Holtmann and Archie Miller, because they were both hired at the same time. Archie obviously coached at Ohio State. So, like, that was, there was, you know, should Ohio State get Archie? Holtmann's from Butler. So it's like, there's all that overlap. And I would say that Holtmann's transition from taking over for Thad Matta, the changes, quote unquote, he had to make within the program were very minor. It was very like Ohio State, like Thad Matta's problems were not a cultural thing. It was basically he couldn't use his foot and his back was messed up. And that just kind of led to his demise at Ohio State. Whereas Archie has had to like completely overhaul. He's doing a completely different system from what like Tom Crean's teams. It's night and day, the kind of basketball they're playing. So I don't want to kill him too much, but also we're in year four and I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place with trying to, you guys are done, huh? You guys are like Indiana. He's not going to get fired this year though. Like it's a free year with COVID, huh?
I think it just depends on how much it bottoms out. Like if it bottoms out, I think there's a chance because I think apathy will be so strong. I think if they make the tournament, then yeah, I think he'll be back. I think a lot of fans are in a place where I'm basically at, which is that like I haven't seen enough to really fully believe in the future of the program. Like I'm here every game, you know, I fully support it. I hope they do well, but there's just hasn't been anything really confidence inducing. You know?
I think the vision, I'll put it this way. Like I think Archie's vision makes a lot of sense. He's basically, you know, if we're going to simplify it, he's trying to do what Tony Bennett does at Virginia, more or less. Like that's kind of the idea of what Archie's trying to do and recruit locally and take all these Indiana guys. And if Kyle Guy is coming up in Indiana now, he's going to go play for Archie Miller and run Bennett ball down in Bloomington. And that's kind of the idea. And I believe in the vision, but is the guy in the driver's seat that's getting us to that vision doing a good job with the driving of the car right now.
Can we just have Tony Bennett's vision in Bloomington?
Yeah, right. Yeah, how about that? I come on the show and I invoke Tony Bennett and Brad Stevens and
yeah. Well, like barely over a half hour in too. That's really less. Yeah, I mean, for me, just to kind of answer that larger point, I think things are so inconsistent that he's lost or is losing the benefit of the doubt in decisions like the one that Jared mentioned, or in decisions like taking Jerome Hunter out. Maybe there's an argument to be made that Jerome Hunter's getting tired and you're trying to like get him a break, no matter how good he's playing. But there's so much more scrutiny on every single thing that you do because things aren't really moving fast enough in the direction that people want him to go. There isn't that consistency. And so every little thing that you might normally give somebody a pass on, fewer and fewer people are giving him a pass on it as people have kind of chosen sides or are taking sides and doing whatever. And I don't know that that means he's not back next year. I think to Jared's point, if they make the tournament, then I would imagine that he would be. If they don't, or if things really go poorly here down the stretch in these last five or however many they end up jamming in, then we'll kind of see what happens at that point. But yeah, I think the little lineup decisions are you know, kind of a microcosm of, does he realize, you know, watching the team, they're playing well in this scenario, does the coach not see that, do they not? And there's more to it than that, but I think that's the, you know, Jerome Hunter, to your point, Jared, was one of the only guys really giving him a spark in the first half. They struggled to score. They did play him more at the three course of the game, played him with, you know, Trace and Race, but you know, in general. And then you start the second half with the same lineup that you've been starting with. It's getting you off to slow starts. I think it's that kind of stuff that's kind of wearing on people. And if you were winning more consistently, you'd probably turn more of a blind eye to it. But I think there's a lot of people who
can kind of reach the point where they're not. Can I again say something that it's very convenient for me to say, because again, I don't have to.
You're not going
to
bring up Bob Knight, are you? Because if you get the trifecta this early, I mean, that would
Billy
be really
Donovan, maybe.
To the point of winning, obviously winning cures all. And, I mean, I think Bill has made the point today that the Big Ten and the Big 12 are the two leagues where you can play well and lose. And no Indiana fan wants to hear this. Again, I'm not saying like Archie is a great coach and you're wrong to think he's not or anything like that. But I will say, like, as someone who watches college basketball all over the country this year, like the Big Ten is unbelievable. Like, I don't need to tell people this, but it's so much better than basically every other league except maybe the Big 12. IU, I genuinely believe this, might be like a top four or five team in the ACC this year. They are a good basketball team in that regard. Like you go over their losses, and I've watched a lot of these losses. This is why it's so fresh. I mean, Florida State in overtime on a last second shot, like double overtime at Wisconsin, overtime against Illinois. On down the line, there are just so many games where it's like, man, if one or two possessions go the other way, what is Indiana now? 11-9? Like they could be 15-5 or something very easily. They could very easily be 15-5. We're having a different discussion at this point. If like basically a lot of these losses are excusable, quote unquote, But it's also Indiana, and like when you're get when you've reached a point where you're like trying to make excuses for losses, you've kind of already lost the bigger picture.
The only other thing I would say there is, you know, but then you look at the Penn State win and the Northwestern win, where you're on the razor's edge. So they've kind of like won half of them and lost half of them, which is about what you would expect when you're in that many close games.
The only other defense I'll have of Archie, or just kind of, I'm not trying to defend him. I guess I'm just trying to provide like a maybe some balance. Yeah. Some like perspective of like what makes this different from every other year. Cause I was very high on Indiana from what I saw in Nashville. I think the pieces are there. I think, like I said, I genuinely don't think Ohio State is that much more talented on an individual player level than Indiana is. And I think like there's a good team in there. But what becomes frustrating, I think, as a fan with Archie's system and having an approach that's so defensive minded. And Andy brought up the point earlier at the top of the show is it's offense feeds in the defense and you have to make shots to like then get the juice on defense sometimes. When IU is not playing well, it looks really, really bad. It looks really bad. And that's what happens when you have a defensive minded team, because if you struggle offensively, but you're making your bread and butters on the defensive end, and then say some night you're just like not clicking defensively, like whatever's going on, it bottoms out and it looks horrible. And if you have a team that's more offensively minded and they're not playing well, it's more appealing, I guess, as a fan, like to have an off night, to have a team that's so offensive minded not play well. It's like, that's all right. We just weren't making shots. Or you kind of come up with like these, and I think like having that context of Indiana can be an elite defensive team. I think Archie's, again, I do believe in the vision. I believe in the idea of having a defensive minded team that like takes care of the ball. I know that's like whether it happens or not, that's something Archie values, is like, let's protect the ball, let's play defense. That makes a lot of sense. So like the big picture, I'm with the local guys, like they're a young team. Like it makes a lot of sense. It's just like, again, if you're watching all these games, like there's inevitably one or two times at least every game where you're just like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Mark, because I think we're all kind of trying to figure out like why it hasn't worked more. Cause I think a lot of IU fans believed in it. I remember I had Gary Parrish on a podcast and asked him like, okay, if this doesn't work with Archie Miller, why won't it work? And he's like, I don't even understand the question. Like, of course it's going to work with Archie. Like, there were a lot of reasons that it seemed at the time like it would work. And to me, as you kind of look at what he did at Dayton that was successful, you know, he had a point guard in Scoochie Smith that kind of ran things, mm-hmm. you know, and he didn't have a team that was built around big guys. He had more of a perimeter-oriented mm-hmm. team. They played smaller. Every single year at Indiana, his best player has been a post guy. You know, he came in and had Juwan Morgan. Then you had a guy like Deron Davis who was there. And then, of course, you know, Trace Jackson Davis is in your backyard. You're going to take him. And the guards like Rob Phinisee, you know, haven't really panned out. Al Durham is what he is. He's a guy who was ranked 230th and has actually become a contributing player. Like, you're actually pretty happy with that. So it seems like the vision for what we thought we were going to get hasn't happened, because we've been playing all this basketball that's built around a big guy. But that doesn't feel like the kind of basketball he wants to play. He just hasn't gotten the point guard right. And he's tried to recruit those guys. So like if you're trying to paint like an optimistic picture, you know, or a reason to hold on to hope, like, do you think that if he's able to kind of hit the point guard, which maybe a guy like Lander is, he can play basketball that's more his style? But then do you also say, well, dude, you've had 4 years to like figure out the roster? And I think this is where you start talking yourself into circles, because you want to be hopeful, you want to be optimistic, but then you come back to year four, year six and seven, like, I mean, what are we doing?
That's exactly what I do. I just talk myself into circles, because I think yeah, I mean, again, not to bring up Tony Bennett, but like you look at Tony Bennett's tenure at Virginia, and it started out and like kind of recruiting guys that fit his vision, and you're trying to coach him on how to play team defense, and there were growing pains for him as well, because it's a brand, the Pac-Line defense is a brand of basketball that guys aren't it's not natural. It's not like, it's not something that kids are growing up saying, I want to play pack line basketball, and they're going out and working on pack line rotations in their backyards and stuff like that. So I think I go there where it's just like, you got to have, I have seen progress. I think Indiana is a lot closer to being a nationally relevant, very, very good basketball team than Indiana fans think they are. But again, we're talking ourselves in circles, because it's like, I mean, I don't know. Is that we've been here before? It's the same old story. But I do agree, though, Jared. I mean, I think like you plug a point guard in, it is weird that in 2021 you're not going to win basketball games through big guy. Like you're not going to win national titles certainly through a big guy. You got to have guards that can make plays. You got to have guards that when all else fails, you can throw the ball to them. And again, I'm sorry for bringing up Tony Bennett, but that just seems to be the arc that Archie's trying to emulate. Tony Bennett obviously choked in March a lot. Virginia had their problems. And ultimately when he got over the hump is because he had guys like Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter. And like, if you watched the arc of Virginia as closely as I did when they were struggling early and then like Bennett started winning ACC titles and then they ultimately won the national title. Like that was the difference, was that he eventually got guys in there that was like, all right, when the system breaks down, just throw the ball to my three NBA players and let them go make plays on the perimeter. It might just come down to that. It's like you got to empower your guards, and right now they're not doing that. But I don't know. If you want to be optimistic, maybe Christian Lander can become that guy.
your chuckle after saying that makes me uncomfortable.
It's just like we're a broken record, right? Like this is the same.
Imagine doing this after every game, Mark.
I know. I'm going to come on next year, and Ohio State's going to beat Indiana. And I'm going to say, listen, it's not that bad, you guys. Like you guys are close. I promise.
People are calling you out in the chat. They said Mark just wants Indiana to stay in this cycle of mediocrity.
Yeah, I'm Lucy with the football. Pulled it from Charlie Brown. Just saying, you're so close. You guys are going to kick it next year. I promise. Oh man,
Andy.
No, you want to talk stats maybe and move on? I don't know that I have anything to add that we haven't there.
I guess the only thing that I would
turn things around by looking at some.
Yeah, I mean, you can point out the points per possession. Indiana gives up 1.258, so that's not very Tony Bennett or Virginia like in year four.
Yeah, that's not.
No, that's not ideal.
That's not it.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you look at from a statistical perspective, you know, a couple areas, Ohio State gets 21 points off the 15 IU turnovers. They get 20 second chance points off of 12 offensive rebounds. I mean, IU had almost as many offensive rebounds, but less than half the second chance points. So just a couple of those. I mean, Ohio State really either, and I probably haven't watched enough Ohio State to know how much they typically crash the glass, but it seemed more than what they might normally do. Mm-hmm. You know, Suing had four, I feel like, before the first TV timeout or something close to that. And IU didn't ever really adjust to that. You know, Zed Key, as Mark mentioned, was really, he would just body Trace under the basket and then get, you know, put himself in position to get rebounds. And I think a lot of that just speaks to the overall physicality of Ohio State. And I know they talked about that a little bit on the broadcast, just how physical they are defensively on rebounding, whatever. And that, you know, to kind of circle it back to the other point, you know, that's one of the things that I think IU wants to build its identity on is that kind of physicality, toughness, whatever. But when they really ran up against somebody today who truly had those things, the difference was pretty stark.
Yeah. And the only other number I think that really jumps out is zero, which is the number of points that we got from the freshmen today. You know, I think a big reason that Indiana's played better over the previous five games is the freshmen have been really good. Like you look at some of the on-court numbers and the freshmen have the highest efficiency margins when they're on the court, you know, Lander and Geronimo, especially along with Leal. And those guys had zero. But you know what? You're on the road in the Big Ten. They're freshmen. They're going to have games where they're up and down. You know, they need to be a bonus, not what you count on. And unfortunately, you know, the veteran guards who you needed to step up today weren't there. And so it was just kind of an all systems failure. When the guards don't step up, the freshmen aren't ready to go, which is going to happen against a good team on the road. You know, there you are.
I like this freshman class, though. I like Indiana's freshman class.
That's the one thing most IU fans can agree on from an optimistic standpoint. Most folks are pretty energetic about those guys.
And I will say, like, part of the reason I was so high on IU from watching them in Asheville is like a lot has changed between then and now, and certainly you guys have been following it more closely than I have, but they seem like a very tight-knit group, not just the freshmen, like the whole team. Yeah. Like it seemed like and in the last few years watching Indiana, there's always been, it feels like, one or two guys that are like, I don't really necessarily love playing basketball with the rest of these guys. And certainly in Asheville, and a lot of losses have piled up since then. So maybe, you know, some stuff has happened since, but they all seem to love each other, and they were like so excited. And a lot of that had to do with the freshmen. I mean, those freshman guys were going nuts on the bench, and you got Anthony Leal as a Mr. Basketball, and he's going to Indiana, and he's like the next Jordan Holes kind of ish, because they went to the same high school and now they're at Indiana and all that. And he's on the bench for most of these games that are early on in the season. And that guy is up clapping and going crazy and helping out as any way he can. And I don't know. I noticed that sort of stuff. And from like a building a program culture sort of thing, like that stuff matters more than it sounds super hokey and stupid when, you know, pundits talk about that stuff. But as someone who was in it, like that's how you build a culture and that's how you build confidence in guys and guys lifting each other up. And again, winning cures all. And I think you start winning basketball games, it's a lot easier to be excited on the bench and that sort of thing. And losses start piling up and everyone starts pointing fingers or whatever. But I will say that again, another nugget of optimism is that I get the feeling, or at least I did earlier in the season, that these guys don't hate each other, that these guys, and especially the freshmen, because they all, you know, like they all know each other so well. So that is encouraging moving forward, is that like at least they're not going to pull knives on each other in the locker room. And you know, like they're a cohesive unit. They're going down with the ship together.
I think that is what I think will keep this thing from bottoming out. Like everything that we've seen, everything I've, you know, heard talking to parents and stuff, the team itself seems really tight. Now, I think we've seen some schisms or kind of some fissures between Archie and some of the players that have spilled out on the court a little bit, just kind of some looks that you get and some things where you're like, oh, that was kind of odd. You know, so that I think is something to keep an eye on. But the team itself, yes, much better than the last few years. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. Well, let's keep moving on here. Coming up on the assembly call, we are going to hand out our game balls, hit any other lingering storylines. I'm going to look ahead to Indiana's next opponent and the rest of their schedule with Mark, and then it'll be time for last call. That's next on the assembly call. Stick with us.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, y'all? It's Devontae Green giving you the green light to watch Assembly Call after every IU game. Just don't listen to their opinions about shot selection. Remember, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Go Hoosiers.
There's a guy who never lacked for confidence. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. While you're there, make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Over 7,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed. You can also text IU to 66866 to subscribe to the newsletter. That's IU to 66866. All right, I am Jared Morris here with Andy Bottoms and our special guest. It's the Rainmaker. Yes, the Rainmaker is here, Mark Titus. We're breaking down Indiana's 19-point loss to Ohio State. Mark, this is the part of the show where we hand out our game balls. Now, we usually keep this specific to Indiana game balls,
all right,
which, you know, some games is a lot harder than others. This would certainly qualify. So we'll go to you first. Who gets your Indiana game ball for today's
performance? So obviously Trace Jackson Davis, from a statistical standpoint, was probably the obvious pick, but I'm going to give it to Jerome Hunter, because I thought he played he played pretty well, and then I don't know why he didn't get more minutes. And he obviously he's a local kid in the sense of he's from Columbus, and he's playing back home, and Ohio State wanted to recruit him, and I don't know if he's fueled by that or whatever, but he showed some signs of life, and if I was an Indiana fan, I would have been encouraged by that until he got technical and was.
Did he just say something? Is that why he got the technical?
I never really figured out what happened there, because they said he got a tech, but then the replay looked like maybe he was like a flagrant or something. I don't know. Was it actually a tech? I don't know.
Yeah, they did. They were too busy talking about best 3-point shooters in the country on the broadcast to really give it much thought. He kind of got tangled up with somebody going off a screen when he got called for the foul, but there wasn't any real, didn't seem to be like jawing after the play or anything. So I don't know if he just said something to the official or whatever. Yeah, it was kind of strange. They never really showed anything that made it clear what was done to earn the technical.
Yeah. But yeah, I like Jerome Hunter a lot. He played well today. So I think that's kind of where we've arrived with Indiana for me is like, who's going to help Trace Jackson Davis in terms of production. So I'm giving a game ball to Jerome Hunter as the one guy who kind of sort of ish stepped up.
I'm giving it to him too. Cause Indiana needed some sign of life to not get blown out by 40 points and he gave it. And look, we got the full Jerome Hunter experience today. He's going to turn it over. He's going to fall down inexplicably at least once a game, you know, gets a technical foul. There's going to be some defensive lapses. And yet he's the second most talented offensive player on the team. He can go inside. He can go outside. He never lacks for confidence with his shot, you know? And so that was really important. And I think that spark that he gave was that's enough to get it for me.
I noticed one thing, by the way, Jerome Hunter, I think it was the first three he hit top of the key. The Ohio State bench lost their minds and the coaches lost their minds. That sort of stuff stands out to me because you just know that the Ohio State coaches were just drilling over and over and scouting like this guy could shoot. This guy is good. Like, and long story short, the Ohio State coaches respect Jerome Hunter. Like that became clear to me. Like he shot the shot, they lost their minds. And that just, I could see that whole week of preparation leading up to this game, just how much respect Ohio State has for Jerome Hunter. And it makes sense because he's a local kid that should have gone to Ohio State. Jerome, if you're listening, transfers are eligible right away. Come home.
No. Andy, Jerome will get it. Do you want to give an honorable mention to somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, the only other choice was Trace. I was just trying to look back to see how many of his points. He had 14 in the second half. I was trying to see how many really came when things had been decided. There was a stretch where he scored 7 in a row that was, I think, after they'd gotten down 20. So you kind of take some of those with a grain of salt. So I probably would end up going with Jerome, but those were the only two guys that felt like they were even plausible choices to me.
Yeah. Okay, so Jerome Hunter gets his first game ball of the year. Mark, our next segment is called the Mike Roberts Real Hustle Award. So this is kind of the award. It's not the game ball, but it's kind of like, you know, the guy who maybe didn't play a lot of minutes, but he like really made a big contribution in another way. And we have intro music for it too, so here we go. Coach Roberts Real Hustle Award. In honor of Coach Tonsoni's favorite.
I have a mad crush on Coach Roberts.
His favorite, Coach Roberts. And by the way, this Mike Roberts Real Hustle Award presented for the rest of the season by Evansville Security Services. Because in basketball, good defense requires your help to be in the right place at the right time. And the same principle applies in life, too, especially when it comes to protecting your business or loved ones. And this is where Evansville Security Services steps in, like Armon Franklin stepping in to take a charge against an oncoming offensive player, Mark's favorite play in basketball. Evansville Security Services provides off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals throughout Indiana, and you can choose between uniformed or non-uniformed officers. In addition, Evansville Security Services offers accident investigators who go all over the state, and you can count on the folks at ESS to conduct themselves in a professional manner at all times. Go to EvansvilleSecurityServices.com to learn more. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com or call 812-214-1132. Remember, prevention cannot be measured. Let Evansville Security Services help you prevent a bad outcome today. Andy, why don't you go first? Give Mark the hang of the Mike Roberts Real Hustle Award. I don't really know where you're going to go with it, but
oh, yeah, I really appreciate it. It's like IU late shot clock here. Armon Franklin, yeah. Go figure something out. There's not a lot of great options. When you only have six guys that score, that doesn't really help too much either. I guess if I had to go with somebody other than Jerome Hunter, I might go with Trey Gallo. Had a couple of nice plays, I guess. Didn't score, but the one fast break that he led, off to Al for an and one was decent. But yeah, I would be in favor of, like, if you wanted to give this to Jerome Hunter as well, I would be okay with that, perhaps before giving it to anybody else. Race was fine. He had 9 points, 5 rebounds, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. Trey Galloway didn't have a negative plus minus, which is something you can't say for hardly anybody else on the team. Yeah. So.
This feels like a very participation trophy award because
it is. Some games it's more useful than others.
Yeah,
like, but now it's sponsored, so we have to do it.
In a game like this, where like the one thing that stood out to me more than anything else was how much Zed Key hustled more than anyone on Indiana. Like that was like my big takeaway as an Ohio State fan. You're like, so who hustled on Indiana? I'm like, what? So I'm gonna give the award to the only guy on Indiana's bench that I think deserves it, and it's Tim Garl, who ran over to the ref when he got his clock cleaned and just like instinctively was like, I'm on it. This is what I do. I help guys. So I'm going to give it to Tim Grout because I can't in good conscience give it to anybody on Indiana's, any of the players, certainly.
Yeah. No, I'm going to give it to Trace Jackson Davis just kind of in a way to recognize his production. But it's with a giant asterisk that what we saw from him in the second half where he's hustling for offensive rebounds and doing all that stuff, you got to do that at the start of the game. And if you do that, maybe we'll get off to a better start. So it's kind of like fake hustle at the end of a game when it's not, when the game is kind of in, you know, already been put away. But we need to see more of that from him, because that
I was the king of that. I was the king of the fake hustle. I just wanted to say that. Like, I respect, I'm not going to get on Trace for that, because that was my MO. Is like, the ball has already bounced out of bounds twice and the whistle's blown, and then I come diving in, like trying to save it just so it looks cool, like I'm out there hustling, you know?
Coach Tonsoni, one of our other co-hosts, who's a high school basketball coach, he always rails against fake hustle, and he especially hates guys who do like the closeout where they just like run by somebody, but they're not really challenging the shot.
Dude, when you're as bad of a basketball player as I was, like all that stuff, that I kind of hate it too, because like that's why you mentioned earlier I hate charges, because I'm a guy who took 10,000 charges in my life, and I know that it's garbage. I know what the people that take charges are doing, and they're saying I suck. That's the same with the fake hustle. Like, yeah, it's all I could do to make an impact is to try to convince the coaches I'm good. Is when the game's out of hand, dive after a loose ball.
So let me ask you this, Mark, as we kind of wrap up here, you know, you've done a couple podcasts with us before where you've really gone into your history with Archie Miller. And I'll put links to those in the show notes, because obviously we don't have time for you to rehash all that stuff here. But, you know, maybe it would be useful, you know, from your firsthand experience from him, you know, with him, like what is maybe something we don't understand or that you remember from that time that kind of gives you some of the confidence that he might still be able to be this guy that maybe we just haven't gotten a chance to see yet?
Or hasn't come out. He's very intense. He's very he's very knowledgeable, obviously, of the game. I don't know why I just feel the desire to throw out a bunch of cliche stuff, but like he is a guy that I remember at Ohio State that gets it. Like, that's the only way I could really sum it up, was like he was a different caliber of assistant coach. And the moment he was hired at Dayton to be a head coach, like, it wasn't surprising to me at all, because I was like, this guy is destined to be a head coach. And I don't know, like that's what I would say. Like, that's I believe in his vision. That's all I could say. Is like, I don't know sitting in the head coach's chair is different from an assistant coach's chair. So like my perspective of him, I thought John Gross was awesome too, for what it's worth. Like I thought John Gross was like one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life in basketball or otherwise. And when he ended up at Illinois, I was like, I don't know. I mean, the guy is a genius, but he also, being a head coach is different from an assistant coach. So I don't know. You know, I'm not going to defend the guy, and I'm certainly not going to say like Indiana fans are crazy for wanting Archie gone or anything. But I do believe in his vision. I believe that he can get Indiana there, but also like he knew what he was stepping into. I mean, the guy, he in his introductory press conference, I watched every second of it. And he was just hammering home. Like, part of the reason I was so excited about him taking over at Indiana is because he, again, was a guy who gets it. And that was like one of the criticisms of Tom Crean, was not recruiting locally. He sort of felt like Indiana was just another program, so to speak. And Archie knew from day one, like, this is Indiana. This matters. You can't just show up and use it to enhance your own brand. Like, you have to have these certain values if you're going to be the leader of Indiana basketball. And I think he understands all that and he gets it. But the flip side of that is, he also, listen, he's got to understand that 6-7 in the Big Ten just isn't good enough. And it doesn't matter what the context is. And I know it's a COVID year, and a lot of coaches around the country are certainly looking to say like, this is a weird year and this year doesn't count and all that kind of stuff. And Indiana fans don't want to hear it, nor should they want to hear it. So, I don't know. I do believe, that's the only way I could describe it, I guess, is I believe in the vision, but the road he's heading down, he's taking a detour. And I guess it's, do you want to trust that he knows the GPS is saying go this way, and he's going a little this way, and you're like, do we want to trust that he's going to make it back to the vision? But as far as the overall vision of where he's trying I don't think it's unrealistic. I don't think it's just pie in the sky. I don't think it's just like he gets in front of a microphone and just says cool things to keep people confident in him. I think there's a real vision of where he wants to take it. It's just maybe not going as swimmingly as he anticipated right now.
I'd settle for some cool things to keep us confident right now. If he wants to let any of those fly, I'd be all about those. Yeah. Andy, I know you have to go. You want to pop in here for a final thought?
Yeah, I got to leave to go coach my daughter's game. We only have six players today. So lineup questions will be minimized by only having one sub. So I feel good about that. But, you know, I think it's to me going into today, this is kind of what I expected. Maybe the margin was a little bit more than what I would have expected. But I think you've seen enough from this IU team that you had a pretty good idea of that they weren't going to be ready to really compete with the team plan the way that Ohio State has been for the balance of the year. And the game certainly showed that. So now you turn you turn to the next two games, which are at least of the games that are scheduled right now, are the two most winnable by virtually any measure that you'd look at. You know, home games against the Minnesota team that's been lights out at home, struggled on the road, and then home against Michigan State, who hasn't played all that well, and who Archie has had their number for whatever reason over the last couple of seasons. So I think you have to really just go into those games and say you got to hold serve this week, and then you got to figure out how to steal one of the last ones on the road. We talked about that a little bit on the show of the games that are left. I guess the Michigan games at home, but you know, these two next two are the ones that you really feel like you need to win and should win if you're going to make the NCAA tournament. So if you don't do that, you really put yourself behind the eight ball. And I think that's what IU is kind of fighting back from behind. I think if you look back, and Mark brought this up earlier in the show, but you know, you don't lose that Northwestern game and you win one of those Big Ten overtime games. You're 8-5 in the league right now and feeling okay. And yeah, you got blown out by Ohio State, but they're a really good team and you can kind of move on. And I think the general tone of how everybody feels coming out of that is pretty different just with a couple game swing. So now you've used up all the rope that you have. You got to find ways to win these two games at home, and you'd like to think they'll bounce back and do that. And ideally just trying to find a way to get balance on this team where you can have the front court and the back court play well in the same game, because these last two games have been pretty extreme in that regard. But just trying to figure things out, that balance. Ohio State had really good balance from a scoring perspective today. They got a lot of guys who can beat you. They got a lot of guys who are confident. And just game to game, that's not what IU has right now. And if they want to make a run and make the tournament over the stretch, they got to find some level of consistency and some level of balance with these guys. And we'll see if they can do it starting Wednesday night. I think they announced a tip time. I think it's 9:00.
9:00. We're either playing at 9 or noon pretty much for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for overtime or lots of fouls. That should be that always makes for a fun evening when we have that. So, but anyway, so I'll be back then. But Mark, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it, and I'll let you guys wrap it up.
Thanks, Andy. And Mark, I want to be respectful of your time. I really appreciate you coming on with us today. You know, the last thing I wanted to talk with you about is just everything that you have going on. Obviously, the Titus and Tate podcast. Yeah. You've got the new podcast with Charlotte, and then the program that you have for walk-ons as well. I'd love for you to just tell our audience members what you have going on and how they can support some of the things that you're doing.
Yeah. So the thing I'm most excited about, is I started a foundation, Club Trillion Foundation, to basically just serve walk-on athletes around the country, because I was a walk-on, and walk-ons know what they're getting into when they sign up for being a walk-on, but also the deal is kind of weird because like you don't get a scholarship to go to school, but you also have to like adhere to all the NCAA rules, which is kind of, you're stuck in that no man's land of like, if you want to sell, I don't know, if you want to make literally any money on the side, you kind of can't do it, but also you're not getting the scholarship. So we started a scholarship. It's open to all Division I basketball walk-ons. The vision with the foundation is, we would just want to award as many scholarships as possible. So I think like if I can get this one fully endowed, I'm going to start giving out a women's basketball one, maybe a football one. I think walk-on experience was, obviously I owe my career to it, my life to my time at Ohio State. And, I think, I have an obligation now to give back. So, that's it. So like, I understand we live in weird times, so I'm not going to ask anybody for money or anything like that. We're fine in that regard, but I'm just trying to raise awareness for the thing more than anything, because I want walk-ons to apply for this and know that it's out there. So we got to get the IU guys involved somehow. That's pretty much it. That's the thing I want to plug more than anything, because I named it the Club Trillion Foundation and not the Mark Titus Foundation, because I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about like the walk-on fraternity, so to speak. And and it's cool because the people that award the scholarship, ultimately the guys that decide who's the winner, it's all a committee of former walk-ons. I'm not on the committee. It's all just guys from all over the country. We got a guy that played for Dean Smith at North Carolina in the 80s. He's on the committee. He was a walk-on, obviously. We got guys that played at tiny schools that graduated a couple years ago and everything in between. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Walk-ons, it's something the walk-on experience is something I think is awesome and gets dismissed a lot. And I think I did some small part to help people, kind of peel the curtain back on walk-ons as being more than just a punching bag or just a human victory cigar. So, I'm trying to just keep that train moving and try to get some shine to some walk-ons. So
definitely. Yeah. And to learn more about that, you can go to clubtrillionfoundation.org. Mm-hmm. clubtrillionfoundation.org. All right. Well, your final thoughts, Mark, on obviously a good day for an Ohio State fan.
Yeah.
And maybe for the Big Ten at large, if Ohio State can get a number one seed, but disappointing for Indiana fans for sure.
Final thoughts. I appreciate you having me on here time and time again. One of these, I don't want to say this out loud because I actually don't want Ohio State to lose, but like just for the sake of the show, it'd be nice to come because I also feel like very unprepared because like I'm watching the game just pumping my fist at how good Ohio State is. And then there's like 5 minutes left and I'm like, oh crap, I got to like pay more attention to what I used to in here so I could talk to these guys. So I appreciate that you allow me to come on your program, and I don't think I gloat that much, but I don't know. I am very excited for Ohio State, and I'm excited for the Big Ten. And I think my final thought on Indiana is this: you got to beat Purdue. You're fleshing out the schedule: Minnesota, Michigan State, Rutgers, Michigan, Purdue. Those are the regular season games left. I am putting all my eggs in the Purdue basket. If IU loses to Purdue, I don't care if you win the next, what is it, five games. And then if you lose at Purdue, you're out of the tournament. I have to say, like, I want Archie to have that mindset. I want him to say, because when IU lost to Purdue at home, that to me was the worst loss of the year. I was so upset as the Indiana fan of me.
He has yet to beat Painter.
You've lost to Purdue 1,000 times. They're mm-hmm. just as young as you guys are. It's Purdue. I mean, I get Purdue's playing well ish right now, but like, it's just, you have to win that game. You have to win it. There has to be something where you figure it out. I don't know. The channel of the Bob Knight, like how much he hated Purdue. I promised I'd mention Bob Knight at some point on the show. Channel that and just throw the rest of the games at beat Purdue for the love of God. It makes me sick that Knight came back, Jared. He came back to Bloomington.
I was there. I know.
And they blew it? How do you lose that game?
You know, honestly, that game has kind of been wiped from my memory because the whole day was kind of so emotional, and that was such like an amazing moment. I almost forgot that it happened during the Purdue game when it was the 1 year anniversary of it. I was like, oh my God, we played terrible that day.
You cannot lose that game.
I mean, you know, I was thinking about this before the game started. Archie has been absolutely owned by Painter and Holtman. I mean, I think those two coaches more than any other have just like it. You watch the game and you feel like they just have better coaching than we do. Like they seem to have a better plan. And that is hard because Painter's the coach at Purdue, which is your number one rival. And Holtman is the coach at Ohio State, who was hired the same year you are. And I think Indiana fans see that. And it just, it's kind of inexcusable.
It's a buzzword, but there's truth in it. The culture, I think the big difference to me between Purdue's program and Indiana's program is that you know what you're getting out of Purdue. You know what you're getting out of Matt Painter. You know every single year if Purdue gutted their roster this year and had a whole new crop next year, I would know exactly what I'm going to get when I turn on the TV and watch Purdue basketball. And that's not to say they're like the best program in the country or not, but they know exactly what they are year in and year out. The same is true of Ohio State. Like I think Chris Holtman, and that's what I kind of talked about earlier. You talk about the transitions when Holtman took over for Thad Matta, he didn't need to like reboot the culture. He was like basically taking the blueprint and plugging his own stuff in and away we go. And I think Archie, that's sort of been the story of Indiana basketball throughout the coaching changes and all that stuff, is just like trying to find, just some, no more ups and downs of trying to figure out like what kind of guys we want to recruit, what kind of system we want to run, all that kind of stuff. Like settle in on something. And that's where I guess my optimism comes from, is I think Archie is close in the sense of establishing the culture, but culture does not win you basketball games. That's just like the first piece. So I don't know. I feel like they are close. That I guess my final thought. I genuinely feel like Indiana's close, but I am with the fan base and running out of how many times I can say that. But I don't know. You have to win games. You have to win games. And they're just not winning enough right now. And that's,
if this Indiana team made the Final Four this year, I would not be shocked.
Oh, well, that's a great positive note to end on, Mark. Thank you.
I stand by it. There's a fight. I swear to God, Jared, I'm not saying this because I'm like, it's been a weird year for all of us, and I feel like my brain has been fried 30 different times and throughout the last calendar year. I swear to God, if Indiana made the Final Four, there's a team in there. They need like Norman Dale, just like giving them a pep talk before the game or something. I swear to God, like the team, if Rob Finney's scoring 18 points with no turnovers at Iowa, you get that Rob Finney every night. You get Trace Jackson Davis.
Couldn't you do that at Iowa? Like Iowa doesn't play any defense.
I know. But God, they took Illinois to overtime. They had them. I don't know. That's the name of the game. That's college basketball. That's why we love it. But if Indiana made the Final Four, they would not be the worst team in Final Four history. Let's just put it that way. And that's all you can hang your hat on that. So maybe there's some off.
We got that going for us. Happy Saturday, IU fans. All right. Mark, thank you for joining us, man. Always appreciate it. And we will look to do this next year. Maybe maybe it'll go better then. Who knows?
Thanks, man.
Yep. Thanks for being here, man. All right. Well, let me close things out here. You know, my final thought for today, you know, I kind of looked at this game coming into it. You know, Indiana obviously coming off a couple of wins against Iowa and Northwestern that were big wins. And it was kind of easy to look at this game on the road against Ohio State, you know, kind of like you're playing with house money. You know, I heard that comment made because it, you know, from the position Indiana's in right now for the NCAA tournament, it doesn't really hurt you to lose this game, right? Or at least that's kind of how the narrative went. But as I thought more and more about it, you know, if you're a mediocre team with mediocre goals, then you view a game like this as playing with house money. But if you're a program that's hell-bent on getting back to the top of the Big Ten and contending with the best Big Ten teams, then you look at this as kind of an opportunity that you've got to have to go and compete with the top team, get yourself above 500, not be satisfied with what you've done, but kind of see what you've done as digging yourself a hole that you've got to start to dig out of. And so it seemed like a big opportunity. And I didn't think Indiana was going to win, but I thought they were going to play well. And obviously we saw what happened. They basically were not competitive. And, you know, it's disappointing because you had a chance there to take a step forward and say, we're 7-6. We beat Ohio State. We've won 3 in a row. We're going to be a factor here down the stretch. Instead, Indiana meekly stepped back. They kind of acted like they were playing with house money, not the sense of urgency you need, not, you know, kind of the toughness, you know, mentally that you need. And now we're back to 6-7, and we are what we are right now, which is a mediocre team in a really good conference that is fighting for its NCAA tournament life. And we may still make the tournament. Seems like about a 50-50 proposition right now. But the standard for this season was to be a factor in the Big Ten race down the stretch and make the tournament easily and be a team that, you know, you kind of thought, hey, they've got a good chance to make the second weekend of the tournament, and we're not that right now. So, you know, as happy as I was that we beat Iowa and as happy as I was that we beat Northwestern, and I do think that we should try to give the team credit when they win and enjoy those moments when they win, they didn't take the step forward today that I was hoping to see. And the razor's edge that they played on against Northwestern, you know, that kind of seems like what this team is, a team that, you know, needs overtime to beat Northwestern and Penn State and can't compete with the top teams in the conference right now. And that's just the reality of it. And I guess there's still some time down the stretch to turn that around. Fortunately, our next two games are at home against Minnesota, at home against Michigan State, two teams that are kind of what we are. Which should give us a chance to win. I think we can and should win both of those games. It'll put us in a much better position for the NCAA tournament, but I'm just disappointed. You know, it was an opportunity for Indiana to show that they're more than what we've come to believe that they are based on what they've shown us, and they didn't. And it is what it is at this point. So hopefully they have some more good basketball left in them down the stretch, but they certainly didn't show us to it tonight, and hopefully they will again on Wednesday. All right, that'll do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call IU Postgame Show. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to assemblycall.com or text IU to 66866 to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Mark Titus, as well as to longtime listener Bob Thompson, who produces a lot of the music that you hear on the show. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk with you Wednesday night after IU Minnesota. Until then.
Take it from me, native Hoosier Mark Titus. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
Thank everybody for coming out.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
I don't like carrots.
All right, well, thanks everybody for being here. It was really nice today to be able to get the Facebook feed going again, have YouTube up and running, Periscope. If you're just tuning in, you wouldn't be just tuning in now. You've stayed with us till the end. But if you didn't notice, you know, last couple of seasons, we've had a Facebook Live feed and a Periscope feed along with a YouTube feed for the live show. And we had to get rid of a couple of those because it was just kind of cost prohibitive to do all of that. But I found a new program to stream on called StreamYard. And so we've got those back now. Now, I will always direct you to YouTube because that's where the chat mob is. That's where there's, you know, the good conversation goes. I think that's where most of our most loyal viewers go. But if it's easier for you to watch live on Facebook and Periscope, you can now watch there. So just wanted to let you know that. And the only other thing that I want to give you guys a heads up on is, you know, just, you know, obviously I haven't been around as much this season. Just, you know, stuff going on at home, and it's been kind of a crazy year. Good stuff. But it's just, it's limited my availability. Our second child is on the way over the next couple of weeks. Not exactly sure when it's going to happen. Probably the last week in February. But that will certainly probably take me out of the mix for a little while. And there may be some, you know, usually I try to get the, even when I'm not around for the show, I try to get the podcast posted as soon as possible afterwards, the audio of it. There might be some games coming up this season where that doesn't happen right away. So if you're kind of used to, you know, listening to this on the podcast and used to it coming up about an hour after the game ends, or I guess a couple hours after the game ends, because it's usually about an hour after the show ends, that may change. But just know, we broadcast the show live. You can always catch the replay right away at YouTube. And if we're doing live streams on Facebook and if we're doing live streams on Periscope, you'll always be able to catch it there. So again, if you're listening to the podcast and the podcast stream is how you normally listen, if it's delayed, you know, a few hours or even until the next day, you can always go get us on YouTube and find it there because the replay is always posted there. So I just wanted to give you that heads up. You know, we're going to try and keep things, you know, moving along at the same pace that we always do and not have to, you know, do like we did for the Iowa game and do the show the day later. But it may get a little crazy because if I'm out and then coach, you know, we're all rooting for Western High School to have a big run in the state tournament. And Andy's obviously got his, you know, his obligations with his daughter's teams. And we are very much a family first operation around here. So that stuff will always come first. But we're going to try our best to keep on the exact same schedule, but just ask for your patience and understanding a little bit if we have to miss that. Just know it'll only happen in the most dire of circumstances, I promise. I'm sure you knew that already. All right, well, thanks for being here. We will talk to you guys Wednesday night after IU Minnesota. Hopefully it's a much more positive performance to discuss. See y'all later.